We rise. Let us pray. O Lord, as your disciples once gathered together in anticipation of your promise, so are we gathered today, that we may see your face, wear your name by baptism in faith, and believe your word without fear. You gave to us those who would show a mother's love. Bless all women with children, mothers as they care for children and home, and all children to love and honor their mother according to your own command. Make all homes to be places of blessing and love. As you bore all the burdens of our mortal flesh in your Son, give to the sick, the hospitalized, those suffering chronic illnesses, and all people in their afflictions, your healing peace. We pray especially for those who have requested our prayers, those grieving the death of loved ones, the Sinisco family mourning the death of wife and mother Sandra, and the Kosishki family mourning the death of wife and mother Sandy. God, comfort all who grieve. Many in and outside of our congregation are facing or recovering from health concerns and have requested our prayers. Ralph Newman, Betty Owens, Jean Hollis, Harry Lanowski, Kathy Briggs, Paul Cobb, Kathy Legault, Pat Walsh, Robert Waldron, Bunny Hainer, Scott Pariseau, Bill Klaus, Bob and Ann Minock, Brian Wilbur, Alex Berlin, Sally Costa, Pastor Dwayne Wugazer, Barb Erickson, Kaleen Berndt, Ginny Claude Pierre, Laura Anderson, Pete Redabaugh, Jeff Wellman, Cheryl Timlin, Chris Teeley, Tom Plagens, Linda and Bob Goldthorpe, Larry and Elaine Dickinson, Elizabeth, Craig, Kathy, and Diana. Lord, these are the people that have requested our prayers. Many of us standing before you now have people, situations, concerns on our mind, and prayers for healing. Thank you for always listening to us, Lord. We pray especially for those in hospice care. That includes Eileen Ging, Mr. Cagle, Ingrid Hartwig, and Arthur Vernacki. God, grant them peace and keep them strong in their faith as they await their Lord's call home. We pray for wisdom for our president, our governor, and all of our local and world leaders. We pray for the men and women serving our nation in all branches of the military. Prayers of thanksgiving for all who celebrate birthdays and wedding anniversaries this week. Prayers of joy and thanksgiving for Stephen and Elizabeth Beck, celebrating the baptism of their children, Jacob and Sydney, later today. And Lord, thank you so much for our mothers, those of us who have them with us now, and those who are with you in heaven. Thank you for the lovely flowers at the altar, given by Ken and Cherise Bates, in celebration of their 46th wedding anniversary, and those at the lectern, given by Mr. and Mrs. Eric Girdler in honor of their mothers, and in celebration of Grace's 16th birthday. And Lord, thank you for the continuing generosity of those who support the family of God's Soup Kitchen. And this month, it's the Dorantes, the Grove, and the Raisler families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did. With a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Here ends the epistle reading. This morning's anthem, There Will I Be by Craig Courtney, is a melodic blend of Old and New Testament passages. In the book of John, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And in the book of Ruth, Ruth promises Naomi that where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. On this Mother's Day, our anthem brings to mind these two godly women. In fact, Ruth, who married Boaz, was directly in the lineage of King David, and ultimately our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we pay homage to Ruth and Naomi, and appreciatively celebrate all the godly women of Redeemer.
Where you go, I will go.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel reading this morning is recorded in John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the Gospel reading. Together we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So on Father's Day, when I say Happy Father's Day, I can actually hear an echo in this sanctuary, okay? The place is empty. But Mother's Day, everybody's here. I'm always tempted to give a Father's Day sermon on Mother's Day because the dads never come on Father's Day. Well, I want to wish everybody Happy Mother's Day. And it's a celebration because all of us have had a mom. All of us have been born into this world through a mother. It's a glorious day, and it's a day to celebrate. The kids were funny about Mother Mary. I don't know who's in it. Jesus' mother. That was a... Our gospel lesson for today. Jesus does his first miracle. And I think we're introduced to a meddling mother. Now, I don't know if anybody has a meddling mother here. Does anybody have a meddling mother? I don't think there's anything wrong with having a meddling mother. I remember once, I wasn't in the car, but I've heard the story so many times from my dad. It seems like I was in the car. I was a young kid, but my dad was driving my grandma, and grandma was my mother's mom, driving my grandma because she didn't drive. And, we'd have her over almost every Sunday. And it was so funny because once you got your driver's license, you get to go pick up grandma. And I remember when I got mine and my mom was telling her mom, oh, Randy's going to pick you up. Please don't send Randy. Well, my dad and grandma are in the car and my grandma is giving him some parental advice how to raise the children. And if you knew my dad, he was just, pretty straightforward. And he let her talk, and he said, Mom, you had your opportunity to raise your children. How you saw fit, now it's my turn. And that stopped the meddling mother. Now, we find in our gospel lesson, I think, another meddling mother. Jesus, his disciples, Mother Mary are at a wedding celebration. In the days of Jesus, the Jewish wedding was a great celebration. It would go on for a week. And there'd be a lot of food and wine. In fact, the rabbis had a saying, where there's no wine, there's no joy. And the run out of wine would be an embarrassment. It really would. Now, we assume that these are very close friends to Mary and the family, maybe even relatives. And Mary, since she seems to be on the know, she knows they ran out of wine, that she may help plan this special wedding celebration. We're not sure. Well, Mary finds out they're running out of wine or out of wine, and she goes to Jesus saying, hey, they're out of wine. Now, why did they run out of wine? We're not sure. Did they underestimate the guests that would come? Did they fail to understand the volume of alcohol people would drink? Maybe it was Jesus's 12 lazy loafer friends that came that consumed all the wine. We're not sure, but whatever the case, they ran out of wine. So Mary goes to Jesus, they're out of wine. She's a meddling mother. She's telling Jesus, hey, we got a problem. You ever have somebody come to you, and you're going to be the one doing it, but they say, we need to do this? Do you have people like, we need to do this? You mean me? You mean I need to do this? Okay, fine. So really what she's saying is, Jesus, hey, we got a problem. We got a problem. Now, she's a meddling mother. What is she expecting of Jesus? She's not just expecting him to run down to 7-Eleven store and buy some Mad Dog wine and bring it back. She's expecting something else. From the very beginning, when the angel announced, you, Mary, are going to bring the Messiah into the world, she knew something was special about this boy. The Magi came, and the shepherds before them. And we're told a number of times in Scripture, she treasured all these things in her heart. She knew there was something special. We have a problem. They're out of wine. Now, this is not the last time she's going to be a meddler. This is her character. We go to Mark chapter 3. This is after the miracle of turning water into wine, so this a little time later. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Not only did his brothers think he was out of his mind, his mother Mary thinks that Jesus is not behaving as he should as the Messiah. And so she's going to correct it. She's going to stick her nose into the situation. She's going to be a meddler. That's Mary. Is there anything wrong with being involved in your children's lives? You are always a mother. You are always a father. You always hold that position to the day you breathe your last. Now, I think the way you deal with your children may change due to circumstance, situation, the type of child you're talking with, and also the age of that child. But it doesn't matter what age they are, you're always going to love them as a son or daughter. You're always going to pray for them, and they're going to love you, and they want you to be proud of them. Don't you think they desire to hear some advice? Not only you cheering them on, but some advice? You have a wealth of experience. You have gone through many things in life. Now, certainly, you always have to be careful how you present. But I think moms, dads, you're forever a parent. You're forever a parent. And because you're a parent, you have the right and the privilege and the responsibility. Now, we're out of wine. Jesus becomes a little strong with mom. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I don't know if you've ever looked at the translation of the Message. It's another rendering of the Bible. It's loosely translated. But they have Jesus in this situation saying, "Don't push me." And that's what mom's trying to do. She is really trying to push Jesus. When Jesus says woman, it's a term of respect, but he's distancing himself. He's saying, "Listen, mom, I'm not only your son, I am the Messiah, I'm God. Don't try to control God." Now, maybe Mary is pushing Jesus. Think about it. Jesus has announced his career. He's the Messiah. But he's still living at home, and he's 30 years old and hasn't done a thing yet. Son, it's time to stand on your own 2 feet. What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. What does that mean? Jesus does the miracle. Does he wait an hour? Oh, an hour's done. Okay, I'll do it now. The reference to hour there is Jesus uses it a number of times and ultimately points to the cross and the redemption of Jesus on that cross of Calvary. When Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come," is he saying that this is maybe not the best time? He does do the miracle, but I think it's behind the scenes. It's in the back hall. The servants know about it, the disciples, but the wedding attendant doesn't. And I think it's safe to assume nobody else at the wedding knew. Jesus is still keeping it very quiet. Jesus sounds like he says no to mom, doesn't it? And yet he still says yes and does it. Children, obey your parents. Doesn't matter what age, you're still a child, you're still a son, you're still a daughter. The Bible says obey your parents, that it may go well with thee, and thou may have long life on the earth. The only commandment with a promise. Obey your parents. Respect your parents. Show honor to your parents. They brought you into this world. Hey, and they may not be perfect. And you may be sitting here today saying, "My mom, I did not come from that Leave It to Beaver home. My mom was far from perfect." You may be sitting here and have every right to say that. And it may have been a difficult home to grow up in, broken, dysfunctional. How do you want God to look at you? I mean, you're looking at your mom and only seeing the bad. Is that what you want God to see in you? Didn't he send his son Jesus to die for all the things you did wrong? To pay the price, to forgive you, to wipe the slate clean so he could look at you through the eyes of grace and mercy? But you don't know what my mom did to me. Well, what have you done to God? Every time you've sinned against him. And he's saying, if this is the way you want me to look at you, how should you look at the people around you? How should you look at your mom? Maybe she was far from perfect. But behold the good. Focus on the good. Show some respect and honor. Parents are far from perfect. But this is the day to be reminded that parents give so much. Moms sacrifice so much. We're told in the reading from Proverbs 31 that her children gather at the city gate and they praise the works of her hands. It is the day to praise the works of the hands of the woman, of the mother, of that grandma, of that woman in your world that means so much, and to let her know she's appreciated, and to let her know that you have at least some understanding of the sacrifices she has made. And I know often the people around you fail to do that, moms. But know this, God sees it. You know, another thing I think we learned from Jesus' story of coming into this world as a Savior, that even God needs a mom. Think about it. Jesus is not only God, he's fully God, and he is fully human, the two natures of Christ. As that fully human, he needs a mother. He needs a mother to birth him into this world. He needs a mother to breastfeed him. He needs a mother to raise him. The role of the mother is so powerful, can be so powerful. There's something about a mother's love. Our epistle lesson for today. Paul is talking to young Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, what I see burning in your heart, I saw in your mother, and I saw in your grandma, and they passed it down. Yes, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith, but so often it's God using people, and so often it is a mother who introduces us to our Savior and to our eternity. So and we need a mother's love in this world. And you may think you're well beyond that age of being a mother. You've done that, been there. Or maybe you've never had children. Listen, if you display that type of love that God has given the female gender, all one has to do is look at a man and woman and see there are differences. If there are outside differences, there are inside differences. God so often speaks of his love for humankind as that as a father, but so often as a mother. And there is something about a mother's love that our culture and society needs more than ever. As we seem to become confused about gender roles and things that, you know, what belongs to someone doesn't belong to somebody else, we've become confused. More than ever, we need godly women. And even if you're well beyond those years of being a mother or never been a mom, know that there may be somebody in your life that is stealing motherhood from you when you're not looking. That you love them in a special way that only a mom could love. And there's something within you that reminds them of that mom that perhaps they no longer have or the mom they never had. Let them steal all that love they can and use that as Timothy's mother and grandmother used to influence Timothy in the faith. And today, as we sing the praises of mom, if your mom's no longer here or grandma, you still gather at the city gates of heaven, and you praise God for that woman, and you praise the works of her hands. And know that in life, because we always need a mother's love, know that in life, God can love us like a mom. Jesus going into Jerusalem, as I shared with the children, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. A mother's love found in our Savior. And sometimes, moms, you have the difficult role of making things uncomfortable for your children. And it's very difficult on them at the time, and it makes it hard for you to do it at that moment. But you know it's for their own good. And sometimes God does that just like a mom, Listen to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs up her nest and hovers over her young, that spreads her wings to catch them and carries them aloft. This type of mother eagle, when the young ones got old enough to fly, she would pick apart the nest. She would take away everything comfortable about home. Why? So she could get them out of that nest. And she'd fly them high and drop them. And as they come tumbling to the earth, she'd fly down and catch them. And she'd repeat it over and over and over until they learned to fly. And sometimes our God treats us just like that mother eagle, makes life very uncomfortable, takes away all the support that we have in this world to teach us to fly on the wings of faith. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Isaiah 49, verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to worship, especially on this Mother's Day, and we thank all who are participating in our service today with the special music as we celebrate motherhood and moms in our lives. As always, don't forget to sign the guest card. And if you don't make it to coffee hour before church, try. It's always a great time for fellowship before 10:30 service. Last Sunday, I think for the first time, had a coffee hour in memory of somebody. And it's a great idea. If you want to remember a loved one, a family member, and host a coffee hour, put their picture out. We'd be happy to run the photos on our screens in the town square. It'd be a great celebration. Also, May 18th, lunch and worship. We have lunch at noon, worship at 1, about a half hour service with communion in the chapel. And no youth group tonight because it is Mother's Day. Guys Night Out, bocce ball tournament, May 24th. Always a great event, even if you don't play bocce ball. It could be like me, I'm just a spectator at the event, but always a great night. And parents, having young people going into 6th to 12th grade, on May 22nd, Joel and Laura, our youth directors, will be having a special event in the gym. Check that out in the announcements. The whole family is invited. An end-of-life planning seminar, May 22nd, following the 10:30 service around 11:30. You need to sign up for that. I'm sure if you just show up, we'll have enough material for you, but we'd like to have you at that. Also, our Germany trip in September 2017, and we're having an informational meeting May 29th following the 10:30 service, and also Tuesday the 31st at 7 o'clock at night. Both meetings are the same, just informational about the trip itself. We remember in prayer a couple of families from our church. Sandy Kosiski was called to her heavenly home this past week, so we remember Lou and family in prayer. And Sandy Sinisco was called to her heavenly home this past week also. So we remember Bill and family in prayer also. With that, we'd rise for opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Seated.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you know, if it's true for you, raise your hand. Who has the second best mom in the world here? Raise your hand. Second best. Yeah, because you know I have the best, right? I don't have the best mom. You have the best mom. I got the best man. No, I got the best mom. I got the best man. No, I got the best mom. Oh, come on. Okay. But we're not going to argue anymore.
Jesus?
Jesus? Jesus has the best mom? I don't know. We're going to talk about Jesus' mom today in our sermon. So it's going to be, she was a meddling mother, let me tell you. And you'll learn what that means someday. But it's a great discussion about the Mother Mary. But we all have moms, right? We all have a special woman in our life. Maybe a grandma or somebody else. They give so much to us. Did you get a gift or and a grandpa? Yes.
And a daddy.
And a daddy. Yes. My son had a shirt, which I wish he was wearing today. It says, "My dad could beat your dad to a pulpit." Get it? Pulpit. Okay. You know what? Moms are special, and you know what? They give so much for us, and do so much, and sacrifice so much. And it's great to get a card, make a card, or give a gift, or make a gift. That makes them happy. But you know what? That special woman in your life makes so many sacrifices that maybe you could do something for them. What I'm going to give you today, this little heart, says Happy Mother's Day to that special woman. What can I do for you? Love, sign your name. What, you know what? I bet mom or that special woman in your life is going to love to hear those. What can you do for me? I've been waiting for somebody to ask. And you can give yourself like she gives herself to you every day. And today we're also going to talk about the love of Jesus and how he can love us like a mother. He said one day, "Oh, how I long to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks." Jesus said, "I love protecting my children. They belong to me." And that's why Jesus went to the cross, so he could protect us and forgive us our sins and give us the gift of heaven. So I want to thank you for coming up, being so talkative today, and you can go to Sunday school now.